Good morning. Great to see everybody this morning. We're going to talk about wealth. And so if you were wealthy, how would you spend your money? What would you do if you were wealthy? Well, this is what I would do if I was wealthy. This is what I would buy. This is where I would live. This is what I would enjoy. It's perfect. It's got the mountains. It's got the meadows. It's got the horses. It is perfect. Now, for some of you, you're like, that's nice for you, Pastor Chris, but I got something else in mind. It probably looks like that. And so, interesting thing about wealth, right? Interesting thing about wealth, you tend to think of it as though it's just for the special few. Only just the special few get to experience that kind of wealth, which, by the way, that ranch costs $8 million. I will not be experiencing that ranch in this lifetime, as far as we can tell. And so we are going to jump into our big idea, which is this. Worldly wealth, which is only for a few, creates insecurity and often eternal poverty. There's a study that was come out that said that actually the more money you have, the less you sleep. The more money you have, the less you rest. Because the more you have, the more you worry. Like, how do I keep it? What do I do with it? Interacting with it. And often, eternal poverty. But spiritual wealth is promised to everyone at any time. Spiritual wealth is promised to everyone at any time. It is your choice where and when you will invest. So, in our world today, equity is a big thing, right? It needs to be fair. Why isn't it fair? It needs to be fair. And if you know anything about history, it's never going to be fair. If you know anything about history, that's never, ever going to happen. It's something people have chased for a long time. So is that true in heaven? How does it work in heaven? How does it work? And I remember going to Peru, and the first 3 weeks, what just shocked me was the poverty. And there was Lima is a major city. On the outside of Lima are these populations along the base of the mountains. They live in basically thatched huts, and it does not matter what decisions they make. It doesn't matter how disciplined they are. They have no possible way they're ever going to get out of that. It's the way it's built. It's the way that is heaven like that? How does that work? Do you have to have certain resources? Do you have to have money to make money? You have to have certain resources for you to be able to be wealthy in eternity. That's our question today. Is it possible or impossible? Is this an impossible piece? Last week, we jumped in on our first impossible thing. Can you know that you have eternal life? We discovered from the scriptures, and that's what Easter is all about. You can absolutely know that you have eternal life. If you've accepted eternal life, then how do you build wealth for eternity? Is it even possible? Do you have what it takes to do it, or do only certain people have what it takes to do it? So let's jump in. I am going to guess you want to know the answer to that question. Like, it matters what's going to happen in eternity. Jesus said this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Any earthly treasure that you accumulate can either be eaten, rust, or stolen. Absolutely true. Anything that you get a hold of, you can lose. And it's guaranteed that when you die, it's not yours anymore. If you rented a house and you couldn't wait to buy a house, you couldn't wait to have your own house, do your own thing with your own house, and you got your own house, and now what do? You fix it all the time. You fix it and fix it and fix it. Why? Because stuff deteriorates. It just does. So Jesus says, not a good idea, not a good investment. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wealth is when you get to the point where you have enough that you can live off what that particular investment makes. In other words, you don't have to work anymore. You don't have to. You don't have to keep adding to your wealth. Why? Because your wealth grows itself. That's basically what wealth is. You get to the place where it grows itself. Jesus said, any wealth that you accumulate here on earth will deteriorate. Over at a certain point in time, it's no longer wealth. It's nothing. Eternal wealth, not only can you live off of what it produces for all eternity. It never, ever, ever wears out. For all eternity. That's the kind of wealth Jesus said you should go after. And he said something else. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Whatever you set your treasure on, if you set your treasure, if you think your treasure is here on earth, if you think it's in something, someone here on earth, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where you, that's what you're after. That's who you're going to, that's where you're going to put your investment. If you think it's in eternity, then that's where you're going to put your investment. That's where your heart will be. So, how does this work? Do you have to have a bunch of resources so that you can build wealth in the future? That's the way it works here. That's the way it works on the earth. You've got to have treasure to build treasure. And some of you may have been born into a family where when you turned 18, you inherited a couple $1 million, and that's awesome for you. Actually, biblically, it might not be, but that's awesome for you. And some of you were born into a family where your inheritance is zero. Like, you get no inheritance. Not only that, the way that you grew up, and in the way that you grew up, you weren't really taught very many principles about this, and so you don't have much to work with. So you're like, yeah, the whole wealth thing, not for me. Is that the way it is in terms of building eternal wealth? Listen to this passage. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, Jesus says, if you help one of my disciples, as simple as give them a cup of water, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Do any of you have access to a cup of water? You're in good shape. Right? You're in really good shape. She actually has the water with her, right? She's in great shape. Another story, Jesus is watching. He's at the temple. And the temple, the offering baskets, they actually set at a certain place in the temple, and they were made like horns. So when you drop the money in, they didn't have paper money. They had coins. When you drop the money in, you could hear it. And so if you gave a lot, like, wow, it honored the people who gave a lot. And there was a guy who came in. He gave, we'll say, $10,000. It doesn't give the exact amount, but it was a lot. He gave a lot. And then a widow came in, and she gave a quarter. And you could barely hear it. And Jesus made this observation. He said, yeah, you see that, guys? He said, the woman gave more than the man. How? Did you not see all of what he gave? He said, because he gave from what he had left over. He didn't give his first fruits. He didn't sacrifice. He gave what he had left over. She sacrificed. She gave everything she had. See, it has nothing to do with the resources you've been given. It has everything to do with what you do with the resources you've been given. Let me say it again. It has nothing to do with the resources you've been given. It has everything to do with what you do with those resources. You know what that means? We're all on equal playing ground. Every one of us. We're all on equal playing ground. Every one of you has the opportunity to build eternal wealth. So what do you have to invest? Well, you have your heart, your passion, and your will. Your heart, your passion, and your will. You have that to invest. In your life, you've given yourself to, you have given your heart to many different things while you were growing up. It's really cool. I ran my mom home last couple days, and while I was there, I popped in on my nephew, and my nephew was carrying a little football around, and it's the first time I'd seen him do that. And I said, did you fall in love with football? And his family goes, it's all he ever talks about. What happened? He gave his heart and his will to football. I remember being in a sophomore in high school, and it was after our first game of the season, and I was starting both ways, and we were sitting at a restaurant after a game, and a girl walked in that all of us guys liked, and they're like, oh, so-and-so's here. I said, I don't even care about girls. I just love football. I just love football. That didn't last all that long. But for that moment, right? For that moment. What do you mean? I gave my being to that. That's what you have. That's what you have. You have money. You have money. You're like, I don't have as much as they do. That's not the point. You have a quarter. You have money. You have the ability to make money. You have time. Time is an equal thing. I got 24 hours a day. You've got 24 hours a day. We're equal. We all have time. And you have giftedness, skills, and abilities. That's not equal. Some of you are amazingly gifted. You're so smart. You're so wise. And the rest of us don't have as much. Right? And people all the time are like, well, yeah, but it all balances out. It does not all balance out. It does not. Like, some people are just really beautiful, right? Some of us, not, right? Some people, like, they're great with money. They're just amazing at it. And some people are not. The idea that we're gifted the same is not true. One of my grandsons has Down syndrome. He doesn't have the same ability other people have. But he has some, right? And what did we learn earlier? It's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. So that's what you have to invest. So you're either a long-term investor or a short-term investor. What's a long-term investor? I was going to talk about investing at this point, but I would say something foolish and mess it up. So we're just going to go with these two terms. Long-term investor or short-term investor. A long-term investor is, I follow Jesus for what it will earn me in eternity. I make my decisions with what I'm going to do with my heart, my money, my time, and my giftedness based on what I'm going to receive in eternity. That's where I'm building my wealth. That's how I make my decisions. That's how I live my life. That's a long-term investor. What is a short-term investor? A short-term investor, they follow Jesus for what it will earn me here on earth. A short-term investor, I will follow Jesus for what it will earn me here on earth. You're a consumer. You consume Jesus. He's there so you can build this life. And so you measure your life based on what Jesus gives you materially. You measure your life based on your popularity. How successful am I with other people? You measure your life based on your bank account or your stocks or your commodity portfolio. You measure your life based on pleasure. And so you definitely invest in Jesus. And you're like here this morning, you're here this morning, you're like, you've never met Jesus. You're not a follower of Jesus yet. you're just investing in whatever it is you hope in. Does that make sense? There's something you've come up with for yourself. You're investing in that. Most of this talk is based on that you have come to accept Christ and you have eternal life as we move forward. So, where do you invest? If you're going to invest in eternity, where do you invest? Do you just be a nice person? Does that count? Do you give to your local Y? Does that count? If you're going to invest in eternity, does it matter where you invest? Well, it matters where you invest. Like, I'm going to make some money. And so I'm going to invest in Netflix. If anybody knows about anything that's happened in the last couple of weeks, Netflix went, whew. It matters where you invest. Some investments pay off, and some of them lose all of your money. Where do you invest? Well, if you're going to invest for eternity, then you invest in Jesus. What did it say? Where your heart, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Is Jesus your treasure? Is Jesus your treasure? What do you mean? I mean this. Do you find life and fulfillment and joy and meaning and purpose in Jesus himself? This investment is not in a thing, it's in a person. It's that everything that Jesus has given me, I want to accept that. I want to take that in. I want to live from there. The terminology in the Bible is that you interact with Jesus by grace. What's that mean? You don't earn anything. You realize you don't deserve to have this relationship with Jesus, but he comes and says, by grace, I gave my life for you. I'm going to give you a new life. I want you to have my life. You become part of me, part of my life. And you do that by faith. You're like, so it's a gift, and I'm responding to Jesus. This is a promise he made me. I'm going to respond to that Jesus. That's where you invest first. Secondly is his purpose, which is the church. You invest in building other people up to grow in Christ. And the third is his mission, which is to reach other people for Christ. I want to be crystal clear about this. Crystal clear about this. Those three things are it. Jesus was very clear about why he came. He came so that people could come to know him as Christ and Savior. They could have eternal life. He did not come to change the world. He didn't come to make the church, the world, a more loving place. He didn't come to make the world more equal. He didn't come to make the world fair. He didn't come to change this world at all. He came to save people out of this world and then to grow them in him. Now, does it have some awesome side effects? It really does. And there's a lot that Christ did and came and people changed and it changed the world. That's not why he came. He came so that you could find him to be your treasure. That's why he came. He came so that treasure would grow in your hearts and your love for each other and the way we supported each other, the way we take care of each other, the way we challenge each other. He came so that we could ask more people to come with us. That's why he came. That's where you invest. Now, but what about my other responsibilities? You do have responsibilities, by the way, right? You have lots of responsibilities, and I can't mention all of them, but let's put them in some categories. One is my God. Now, I said my God for a reason. My God is not always Jesus, and my God is not always by grace through faith. Sometimes you go to church to earn points. You get involved in ministry to earn points. You're building that life, remember? You're my God is you're building this life and you're consuming. And you've got a responsibility toward God and you see that as part of your life. Then you have your family. You've got a responsibility. If you are a husband, you have a responsibility to love and care and take care of that wife, to invest in her. If you have children, you have a responsibility to lead and protect, build character into their lives so they can succeed. That is a responsibility. That takes heart, money, time, and giftedness. And then yourself, man, you got to go to the gym. Or you used to go to the gym. Or, right? You have these things. You need to learn. You need to grow. You've got responsibility. that take what? Heart, money, time, and giftedness. Then you have your church. Then you have your career and success. Success is a real thing for a human being. It's a real thing. You have your hobbies. Do you feel the weight of those responsibilities? Do you, on a day by day by day, almost, if you're a certain personality, you feel it minute by minute by minute, right? You just got all these responsibilities. I got all these things I got to do. I got to do. I got to get them done. Got to do them, right? And they consume all of your heart, all of your time. There's never enough money. You're trying to figure out how you can become more gifted and how you can use your skills, how you can leverage them to take care of all these responsibilities. Investment is using the resources you have. Investment is using the resources you have been given to fulfill the responsibilities you have been given. What do you mean? You have these responsibilities. You also have a bunch of resources. Investment is taking those resources so that you can fulfill those responsibilities. Retirement's a real big thing in our culture. Like a really, really, really big thing. A lot of people spend their entire lives feeling responsible to retire with lots of stuff. Right? And so what do? They take their resources and they invest them into that responsibility. Sometimes they miss out on a great deal of life, but they do have a large sum of money when they hit retirement. This is a tricky thing. It's a trap. Because as soon as you're good at investing so that you can take care of a responsibility, you up the game. What do you mean? I need to invest so my kids can go to school and have a decent education and not wear any clothes to school that have holes in them so they don't get teased, unless we buy them on purpose with holes in them. Right? Right? And you're successful. What happens when you're successful? You up the responsibility. Oh, now they need to have these shoes, and they need to have this phone, and they need to have this coach. And they need to have, it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up. What are you doing? You're consuming. So we need to find a church that will allow me to do a great job with my God, my family, myself, my success, and my career. So you shop for a church. And you pick that church based on what you can consume from it. That's why you pick it. And when it no longer gives you what you want, you go look for another one. Many of you do that with spouses. You got married to consume that person. And they no longer give you what you want. So you're going to get rid of that one and go get a different one. You up the game. So can we do both? Can we take care of our responsibilities? Like, should we just forget all of these responsibilities and just think about heaven only? Sorry, babe, I love you, but got to go do my Jesus thing. You're on your own. Hey, kids, got to go do my Jesus thing. You're on your own. That doesn't make sense, right? But can you feel the tension, right? Can you feel the tension? You got these responsibilities. But how do I take care of them and do eternity, invest in eternity at the same time? Can I do both? Can I fulfill my responsibilities and build eternal wealth at the same time? Well, first of all, Jesus draws a really, really strong line. He used this phrase a number of times while he was here. He said this, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Whoever finds their life will lose it. What's he mean by that? He means that if you think this earth, if you think this next, none of you are zero, so but just hang with me, the next 80 years of your life, if you think that's life, and you think, I'm going to find it here. What do you mean? Well, I'm going to find life in the person I marry. I'm going to find life in my amazing kids. I'm going to find life in my incredible career and what I produce in my incredible career. I'm going to find life in my retirement. I'm going to do it. I'm going to work and invest. And I'm gonna, when I retire, I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to find life when I retire. You're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. What do you mean? At the very least, it means you're going to die, and all of those things you invested in, they're gone. You planned for 80 years, and you're going to live for 1 million. Your soul never dies, guys. You're going to experience eternity in some way. It also means that the very thing you thought that was going to bring you thought that marrying that person, getting that degree, winning that tournament, it was going to bring life. But it doesn't. It feels really good for a little time, and then the emptiness comes back. You can apply it to every one of those pieces. He says, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Whoever invests in the future, in eternity, you'll find real life. When you invest, now what are you investing in this life? You're investing in Jesus. He's my treasure. And out of that treasure, I'm going to build his church and I'm going to reach more people. That's my life. What he says is, while you're sacrificing this life and giving to eternity, you're giving to Christ, you're going to find life. You mean in eternity? No. Here and in eternity. Really strong line. He even says this, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Now, before you think, oh, rich people bad, poor people good, that's not what he's saying. He says, put their hope in God, which means my hope, my life is going to be found in investing in Jesus as my treasure, building the church, reaching people. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God gives you, there's all kinds of things to enjoy in life. All kinds of things. But if you think that life comes from those things, you're going to die. You're going to lose it. You're not going to experience it. If you understand that life comes from treasuring Jesus, building his church, reaching others, then when he blesses you and you take that trip to Tahiti or Colorado or down to the local ice cream shop, you can really enjoy it. Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that you, listen to this, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So, how does this work? Well, There's another passage he pops in here. He says this, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. Now, we oftentimes look at life like this. All right, I've got my life here, and I got to prioritize. I got to make this work. And so some of you may think that family is the most important thing. So you want to make this thing bigger. Family is much bigger. This is all success. Oh, no. We're going to make that smaller. Others of you, you look at it differently. I need to make this bigger. And you're trying to get that thing figured out. And you're trying to figure out how I can build my life God's way. You're checking in with God. But it's your life, and therefore it's your God. It's not necessarily Jesus and his mission and his purpose. But you see that not as your life, you see it as part of your life that you need to work on. And you see family as part of your life that you need to work on. And you see your career as part of your life that you need to work on. And you go around this piece and you're like, okay, how do I do both? How do I take care of these things and build my life and invest in eternity at the same time? Jesus is the center of my life. He has all my heart. You see, what happens when you give Jesus all of your heart, then everything you do with your family, you do that to treasure Jesus, to build the church, and to reach more people. And when you see that your family activity, and for some of you, you have extended family that you spend all of your time with, and you compromise him, you leave him at the door so you can spend time with your family. Some of you have children who you are so set that them being a success and them being popular and them having it all, that when you raise your children, you leave Jesus at the door. You don't actually do it out of praise to him and out of treasure for him. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. This was written to slaves, by the way. It's written to slaves. So what's a slave do? A slave is able to, he doesn't have very many of these. He has like one or two. His whole heart, he does that in worship to Jesus. He gives his whole heart to whatever area it is in worship to Jesus. You can do that too. Only you can do it with all of these areas. He goes on to say, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You have heart, passion, and will. When you give your heart to something, what's the word you would use for that? The word I use is you take responsibility for it. When you're a little kid and you take on a project, you're going to build a birdhouse or whatever you're going to do, you take responsibility for it. You're not doing it for mom and dad. You're not doing it to get praise. You are going to build that birdhouse. When you give your heart and passion and will to Jesus, you take responsibility that he is my treasure. I take responsibility for it. I'm not doing that for somebody else. I'm not doing that to make my life better. I'm doing it because that is where my heart is. That's what I'm about. Your money. Do you take responsibility to build the church of God and to reach other people with your money? Do you take responsibility for that? Or do you go, I'm going to give him what I have left over? Do you look at it as though, well, there's a certain amount. What? How much should I give? Or do you look at it as though, no, all of my money is God's money. And I'm responsible to build as many people as I can and to reach as many people as I can with the money I have. How about your time? Do you give what you have left over? If you give what you have left over, you're investing for this life. Or are you giving, understanding, all of my time is God's time? Jesus is my treasure. It's his time. And I'm going to use it. In all of these areas, to build people, to build other believers, to build the church, and to reach other people. Why do I go to work? I go to work so that I can provide for my family so they can grow in Christ. I go to work so I can rub shoulders with people who don't know Jesus yet so I can share Christ with those people. That's why I go to work. How about your giftedness, your skills, your abilities? Do you give what you have left over? Do you give your gifts and skills and abilities based on the fact that it feels you good to give it? You like what you get back from it? Or are they Jesus's? Are they all his? And you invest them so you can build people and reach more people. And our church, coming back from COVID, weird time for me, right? So we're about half people here on campus of what we were before COVID hit. I have no idea how many are attending or how many of you are with us through the stream. But one of the things that has happened is the kids are coming back faster than the adults. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, has a bunch of kids who needs adults who will take responsibility for them. Not volunteers. Not people who show up on Sunday morning and go, hey, yeah, whatever. What do you need me to do? Bing, put my time in. No. People who go, wait a minute, I have been given a heart. I'm gonna have a heart for these kids. When you have a heart for the kids, you don't build your ministry around your life. You build your life around the kids. That way you can do both at the same time. He talked about the junior hires earlier today. I just want you to just think about this for a second. Jesus came and gave his life for you. He gave you a new life, a new heart. He's given you money, time, and giftedness. Would you dare cross the line where you stop investing in your life and you start to invest in eternity? What's the difference? The difference is responsibility. The difference is, on this side, you think I'm responsible for this church. You're just here to help. On this side, you're responsible. You're responsible for these children. We presently have about 13 life groups. We need 25. We need at least 10 or 12 more people to go, I have skills, abilities, those things. I am willing to take responsibility for a set of people. I'm going to love them. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to do whatever God asks me to do in their life. I'm going to take responsibility for them. To do that, you've got to move from, hey, I'm investing. I'm consuming. I'm investing to consume. To, no. I'm investing for eternity. This is not my life. This is Jesus' life. This is not my time. This is Jesus' life. I'm going to give him my best time. I'm responsible for that. I'm going to give them my best time. I'm going to give my money first to that. I'm responsible for that. I'm going to give my gifts and abilities to that first. I'm responsible. I'm going to take responsibility for that. There were two guys that grew up fairly close to each other, and as you looked at them from the outside, you would not know there was much difference at all. Basically the same house, basically the same yard. Their lives looked very, very similar. And then they both died on the same day. St. Peter greeted them appropriately and began to take them to their new abode. As he walked along past numerous elegant mansions and finally arrived at the first guy, his name was Bob. He was Bob the investor. And it's a ranch. It's a ranch that looks even better than the ranch I showed you. If you want it to be, it's a beach, even better than the beach I showed you. And he falls to his knees. He goes, Bob, this is yours. He falls to his knees. How? What? I don't get it. How could I have possibly? Why would you ever give? This is beyond anything I could have ever dreamed. To which Peter said, well, we simply took the heart and the money and the time and the gifts you invested here, and we multiplied it. And this is your eternity. Sam, the consumer, couldn't wait to get where his house was, and he continued to walk along, and he was taken aback. He says, why am I left with a run? I'm sorry. They finally arrived at his place. It's a dilapidated shack at the end of the street. Sam was taken aback. He began, why am I left with this rundown shack when all these others have fine mansions? Well, sir, Peter replied, we did the best we could with the heart and the money and the time and the gifts you gave us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, convict us. Convict us of what's true. That is absolutely possible to fulfill our responsibilities and to invest in eternity at the exact same time. I want to pray for you to first convict us. It does not matter what we've been given. It matters what we do with it. Help each person here to grab a hold of the fact that they have everything they need at this moment. If they're followers of you, they have everything they need at this moment to become incredibly wealthy in eternity. Convict us to pass over from building a life where we're consuming you and we're consuming ministry and we're consuming even the Bible. We make all of our decisions based on how that's going to help us build a great life here on earth. Help us to cross over. Help us to see clearly in our own lives. Each person to see clearly in their own lives that you are their treasure. And investing in the future means investing in you, responding to you, enjoying you, following you. Lord, each individual person, can take responsibility for building others. I ask that you just make it crystal clear to them so they can grab that responsibility. And regardless of what happens in this life, they will give their money, their time, their heart to teaching children, to leading adults, to beautifying our campus, to taking meals to sharing you with their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers. In your name we pray. Amen.